Rabbi, you're muted. You're muted, Rabbi. We can't hear you. Ah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes? Good.
Yes.
Fine. Let's start. I called the name of this shir from a raging inferno to a cool mountain spring. The reason why I chose that is because when we come to the topic of machlekes and koirach, a raging inferno is what you run away from. You flee from a raging inferno, which is a machlekes. If you're able to avoid the machlekes and come to meet the person or whatever the issue is, the person who's contending against you, with warmth, then it's a cool mountain spring. And that's the purpose of this year, to give a focus on the balance between the dangers of a machlokes, and at the same time, to see if you can possibly avoid it, what the results and the benefits are wonderful. And that's why I call this, the opposite of a raging inferno is a cool mountain spring. It's a refreshing, if you see something where there could have been an argument, and it's been avoided. Let me start with two letters, which I saw from the Rambam. The first one is he wrote to his son, Rabbi Avraham, and I want to read it out to you, because it's alarming the way the Rambam wrote. What does it mean, the dangers of the machlokes? He wrote as follows. It's in Igeres HaMusa, if you want to look it up in the Rambam. Al teshaksu es nafsho seichem. Don't make your neshama into an abomination, like a disgrace. You can imagine your most precious commodity that you have, your nefesh, you work your neshama, It is, and when it was formed at conception, it was tahoirahi. But you can meshakate it. Meshakate is you make it disgusting. What a tragedy in life. You can meshakate your neshama, says the Rambam, if you get into a machlokes. And his words are poetic, but we know the Rambam wasn't a poet. The Rambam was a rishon, and he can be medayek on every single word. But the wording is so choice the way he chose his words. What does machlokes do? Hamachale haguf va'nefesh va'momoy. Machlokes shatters your personal body, your nefesh, and your momoy. It destroys everything that you have. You're left with nothing. It destroys, it makes you into a complete doom. It dooms everything you have. And the Rambam then says, Ra'isi, he saw with his own eyes, levonim hishchiru, people who are white, meaning people are pure, became black and dark. Upochasu nichusu, people who are low, stooped even lower than they really are. The words are poetic, they're beautiful words. Mishpochot nisbachu, families were shattered and broken, all because of a machlokes. You see that nowadays, a tragedy, I know myself of a few tragedies, because of a machlokes with this eitz and degel ha'Torah, and families have been broken up. Now there's a machlokes between parties about who you vote for, eight, and families literally have been broken up. I know myself with families like that. Well, because of the machlokes. Ayores gedolos nis'aru. Great cities crumbled, and they went into nothing. They destroyed their cities. He said he saw this. Kibbutzim nifredu. Groups of people were separated and never could join again. Chasidim nifsadu. Chasidim, who are pious people. They lost everything. They lost all their purity, all their chasidus, all their piety was lost. Anshe amona obdu, people of great trust, who people held in great respect, obdu, perished, doomed, like Korach. Nechbodim, people who are great honored people in society, niklu v'nisbazu v'sivas ha-machlokes. They lost everything, and they became despised in the community, all because of machlokes. Listen to these words. Nevi'im nib'u, prophets prophesied about the problems of machlokes. Chachomim chichmu, wise men gave great counsel about keeping away from machlokes. V'yosipu l'saper ruas ha-machlokes. And they all told of the evil of the raging inferno. That's why I call it a raging inferno. It's catastrophic, a machlokes. But they never reached the end. They never really said everything, because there's so much more which can be said about a machlokes. The Rambam kept well away. That's the first lesson that we see, the first letter of the Rambam. The second one I found is that when the Rambam had finished writing Moreh Nevuchim, he wrote the Sefer actually for a Talmud called Rav Yosef ben Rav Yehuda, a Talmud. He wrote Moreh Nevuchim, and he had a lot of backlash from it. People were not happy with it, some of the things which he wrote. a lot of zilzel came out of it. And it was, literally a machlokes of it was in Klal Yisrael when they read what he wrote in Ma'ariv Bukhin. This is what the Rambam wrote to his Talmud after all the zilzel came out that he wrote about in the Bukhin. The great Rambam, the great Mishnah Torah. The Rambam said as follows, "Vezeh kulei hai, chai Hashem, I make a shavua." He made a shavua to his Talmud. "Bani lo tza'areni, whatever they say about me doesn't upset me in the least. Vafilu ra'isiv, and even if I see the nazir b'fanei, if they abuse in front of me, ela hoyo diburi v'nachas, I keep calm, or you see shoytek, I kept quiet, or oine lefi ha'inyon, or I answer according to the topic, va'ani loy hogein atzmi, I do not protect myself, I don't try and stand up and protect myself in the machlokes, lefi shekoved atzmi umidois ha'hem etzivishlok, my nature, my profile is to keep a low profile, I don't push myself forward and argue back. Not to outwit them. He wrote to the Talmud, if you are really my Talmud, please follow in my ways. You should always be someone who is embarrassed, but don't shame somebody else. Keep away from the fight. Keep away from the machlokes. Al taba al dati, please don't go against my will. B'shum oifen, under any circumstances. Isn't that a powerful letter? The Rambam writes here. In other words, keep away. It's an inferno. Machlokes is eish. I remember hearing from the Mordechai Tzuchim, that he once said, I once discussed something with him in Givat Shom, and he said that Chofetz Chaim had told him, machlokes is eish. Literally, it's eish. It burns everything up. You lose everything from the machlokes. Keep away from the machlokes, a raging inferno. I don't know, Rabbi Yisrael, but after reading those letters and, you know, thinking during the week and considering what it means, I wonder if this whole virus of the corona epidemic is only a mask in front of another virus which we have, is the machlokes of the virus of machlokes. I wonder. I'm sticking my head out. I don't know, but there's a machlokes. There are machlokes in Klal Yisrael, machlokes throughout the world. Different groups, women at the wall, the secular people, the left against the right, you see it in politics, you see it in shuls, you see it in communities. It's a tragedy, machlokes. And machlokes can burn up Klal Yisrael. I don't know, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach us something. Of course, the message about the tefillah and the shuls we know about. But there's another virus, and that's also a pandemic of machlokes, which we see in the politics with AIDS and Degel HaTorah, all these different things, Hasidim, and Lubavitch and Sfardim, you hear it, unfortunately. I don't want to cast a shadow over the greatness and Dan LeKavchover, but the Matthias is, you hear about machlokes, and it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy in Klal Yisrael. So what we have to do, let me just get out the statement, is have a look at the Makor. Let's have a look at the Makor and understand what is a machlokes, what we have to keep away from, and what the lessons are. In Pirkei Avos, in Perek Hei, Mishnah Yud Zayin, this is the way the Tanna explains what we should be aware of. Kol machlokes shehi l'shem shamayim. If there is a disagreement, and it's a machlokes between parties, but it's l'shem shamayim, says the Baal Tanur, it means because it's the cause of emes, it's the truth. They're fighting about something which is emes. Of course, everybody will say, I am l'shem shamayim. So what is the Tanna? I am emes, I am l'samita shodavam. It's interesting. Remember the Gemara in Ksubas when there was a machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What do you say in front of the Kala? If the Kala is not the most enchanting, beautiful Kala, says Beis Shammai, Kala kmo she'i, as she is. Beis Hillel says, no, you say Kala no'eva chasuda. Said Beis Shammai, but midvah sheker tilchot. You don't say a sheker in front of somebody. She's not Kala no'eva chasuda. So Beis Hillel says, and what do you tell somebody who bought something and they have it in their hand to tell them what you bought was not nice? So in other words, says Rav Dessler in Michtav Meliyahu, has a maimah on it. MS is not necessarily the way we explain it. Like you say in the court, I promise to tell the swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Nabdafa, says Rav Dessler, in our terminology, it what brings the greatest kavod shamayim. So kavod shamayim is the MS here. It's not necessarily MS as we say it. Sometimes one does have to tell a lie. Midarkei shalom, or for a kala, in these circumstances. What brings the greatest kavod shamayim, the greatest nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in these words? That's how we would describe emes. If it is so, so for this kayim, says the Baal Tanur, it means the parties involved will stay and live. They themselves have a keenum. Beis Shammai did Hillel. We still see in the Mishnah. Beis Shammai was rejected. Yeah, but we learned Beis Shammai. We learned what Beis Shammai says. Their miskayim, they were, their machlekes was a machlekes l'shem shamayim, and therefore we see what Beis Shammai says. They are miskayim. But she'ena l'shem shamayim, if the cause is something else, like cover and prestige and honor, ein sofer l'skayim, the parties themselves disappear, like we see by Korach. Ezri machlekes she'ena l'shem shamayim, machlekes hilo v'shamayim. She'ena l'shem shamayim, du machlekes koyach v'chal adosim. And that's koyach v'adosim. So we see from here that the definition of a machlekes, which is something to be aware of, something to keep away from, once you're getting involved with matters like personal covet and envy and jealousy and these sort of things, not the shem shamayim, a person is aggravated or a person hates somebody else. Once it's the shem shamayim, one should keep away, keep well away. And you often find that, we'll come on to later on, a religious issue sometimes. I've had enough discussions, heavy discussions myself, with people about the army and secular. What are they searching for? If it is the shem shamayim, it's not the shem shamayim. We'll discuss it later, a little bit later, how you avoid it. But in the meantime, what I'd like to do is maybe just put the definitions clear in front of us. The Rambam, in Pirush HaMishnayos on this Mishnah, says as follows. The meaning of MS is when two people are arguing, and the person who's contradicting the other one is searching to find what the truth is. What exactly is the pshat here? And I'm fighting you in order to, I want to know what the truth is behind it. That's the Shem Shamayim, says the Rambam. And therefore, MS means when you're searching, so you can keep on asking. I remember learning in Alei Shor, Rav Volder Zecher Tzadik Divocha brings out, the Talmud should keep on asking. In Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam brings it as well. Keep on pushing. If you don't understand, ask or disagree. So long as you're searching to find what the truth is, keep on debating, keep on fighting against it until you reach the point where you can understand it. And that's the problem here between Korach v'Adosa. They weren't searching for the emes. It wasn't that sort of search. It was the machlekes, which was shelo l'shem shamayim. How do we see that? And we see it really in the following way. Chaim Shmulevitz explains, this is the proof here. You remember when in the parasha, if you look, open the Chumash, Perek Tezayim, Posek Ches, Moshe, when he heard the taina that they have, he came forward and tried to appease them. He tried to appease. Listen to what Moshe said. He tried to calm the situation down. Shimunah b'nei Levi. Now listen here, b'nei Levi. Hama'at nikem. Isn't it enough for you? Don't you see already that you are special? You are privileged. You are chosen in the machane. You've been to walk closer. Instead of the b'chayim, you are the ones who are chosen. You have a great privilege and a status in Chal Yisrael. Not just that, we know that I think Korach was from B'nai Kohos, and he actually held the Orayim. He held the Orayim. He was one of those people. Kohos was the most privileged of all of them. And he was extremely wealthy, very intelligent, a great Talmud Chacham, with tremendous respect in Chal Yisrael. And he had, more than anybody else, more than perhaps anybody else in Shevet Levi, because Shevet Levi had no money at all. They didn't take on Mitzrayim, and they didn't take on Kiryas Yamsuf, because they weren't Meshubad in the Imri of Mitzrayim. They were always people without money, Shevet Levi, except for Korach, because Korach, I think Chazal say, he was the treasurer of Paran, and he was shown where the treasury was which Joseph had collected. And he managed to take, say, Chazal from there, and that's how he became very wealthy. But most of Levi was not even that. Say, not only was he Levi, he was also very wealthy as well. He was a man of great means. But he was privileged, and Moshe told him that. La'avodas avodas ha-mishkan. Even more, he was carrying the olive. But la'amod lifnei ha'oed ha-sholosom. Don't you realize your distinction? And then, v'yakwe v'yisrov es kol ha-chechom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled you in closer. You are closer than anybody else, than they may be itself. Ubi kashdem gam kuhuna. You want more? You want the kuhuna? Moshe tried. Lachain atov uchal ados ma'anadim al Hashem li'aro en ma'hu. Why are you complaining about Aaron? Hilazim olam. What did they answer? Says the Medrash, they didn't answer. They didn't say anything at all. They kept quiet. Never said anything. Korach never answered at all. And then Moshe tried with Dothan Aviram, and he tried to bring them in. And they said, no, lo na'ale, we won't respond to you. We will stay with the rebellion. Hama'atki, listen to these words, they're disgusting words. You know what they said? Hama'atki elisanu me'eretz avas falavu d'rosh. They use the words which would describe the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, and that was Mitzrayim. You took us out of a place of Eretz avas falavu d'rosh. L'hamisenu b'amidbo. How despicable that was, to take the great credit of Eretz Yisrael and use it on Mitzrayim. And you didn't take us to the place of Zavah, which you said you would give us, a Nachal Avachem, a Sadrach. You didn't do that. They just complained, but they didn't answer the taina of Moshe Rabbeinu, the appeasing. And that's what Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz is the key behind where you see it's Shelo L'Shem Shamayim. Once you don't answer and you reject any form of discussion or debate, then already you're into a major, major machlokes here, because there's nothing to talk to. You can't talk to people about it. You can't discuss it with them. That was the problem here. When they didn't answer, the Medrash says they refused to answer. The reason why they didn't answer Moshe Rabbeinu is because they realized Moshe was a tremendous pikeah, and it could be if Moshe raises a point and we can't answer it, so we're going to have to give in. And that, we can't give in. We're not going to stand down. And therefore, we prefer not to answer him, because Moshe is such a clever person, a pikeach, says the Medrash, we might get caught, and it's better not to answer him. And that was the reason why you see the Shelo L'Shem Shamayim. That was behind it. Lamaisa, because of this, and also other reasons as well, I just want to bring something, let me, excuse me one second. Because of this, we can ask a question. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu daven for Korach Vagoso? You see, by Chet HaEgel he did. Rabbeinu Bahai asked this question. Why didn't he daven for him? Why didn't he daven? He davened for the Meraglim. Remember the Loshim which we say on Kol Nidre, the Cholom, Bayem Hashem, Tzalachno Avam Azek Gedel Chasecha, Bachashen Osos, Ki Lecholom Bishgogo, Bayem Hashem Tzalachni Kibarecha. He was Soleach. So why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu daven for him here? The first reason is because there was nothing to daven for. If they refused to get in a debate, that's the first reason, which Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz brings down. But perhaps I want to bring something else down. I was thinking, look at these Lashonos of Ani Ma'amin, which we say every morning if you say them. Look at these Lashonos here, Ani Ma'amin. Excuse me one second, let me just find it. Ani Ma'amin. You go through some of the Ani Ma'amin, you see they were kofer on the Torah itself. There was no, they didn't even accept the words of the Torah. Kadosha. The Torah comes from Sinai. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I should have prepared this before. I don't have it ready here. And I find here. Listen to these Ani Ma'amin. Ani Ma'amin be'emun shleim she kol divrei neviim emes. So they do not. They deny that. They deny that Moshe was emes. Ani Ma'amin be'emun shleim she nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu al v'shalom poisa anitis v'shehu ov la neviim v'koydim lefonu v'voim akos. They deny that. You're going right to the Makor of Sinai here. What Moshe Rabbeinu said is not Emes. So we begin to understand here how bad this was. It's not like the Meraglim or the Egel, which was a tithe or something else. This was denying the efficacy of Moshe Rabbeinu as the leader and Torah Sinai. What do you mean? They're now denying that. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu never got them for them. There's nothing else. But they're saying it's not like that. Moshe Rabbeinu made it up by himself. That's the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu never davened for them. You're knocking the whole foundation here. There's nothing to talk to people, and they wouldn't even discuss it with him. There's nothing to say. I saw Rabbi Sai in the writings of a before Shapira, who was written down in the Zichron, Sefer Zichron of the Brisker Rav. He mentioned the Nesivos, and the Nesivos makes a beautiful point. You remember the story of Reb Meir and Bruria. Reb Meir was troubled by people in his community, and they were hooligans, they were layabouts, and they teased him, and he actually davened that they should die. And his wife Bruria says, "You don't die." I think it's Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Amud Aleph there. The Gemara brings down. Bruria said, "You don't daven for them to die." The Posek doesn't say that. The Posek says, "Yitamu chatoim min ha'oretz u'shoim oideinom." Not chaitim, yitamu chatoim. Let the chatoim end u'shoim oideinom. You don't say chaitim, those who sin against you. Ask that they should do tshuva. And he did, and they did tshuva, and the situation changed. Bruria was right. But the Nesiva says, what's the difference between chatoim and chaitim? Chayte is a person who made a mistake. It's a tragedy. He made a mistake, all right? It's a mistake, but people make mistakes. That's a chayte. Chatoim is, in essence, bad. It's right at the source. A chatoim means it's intrinsically bad from the beginning. It doesn't have a leg to stand on. Chatoyim is the essence of it. And that's the milkor behind it. Just I saw in the Sefer Shiras David from the David Goldberg, he goes a little bit further than this. Shlita, Rosh Hashiva tells, I think in Cleveland, he says a little bit more than this. He says that later on, do you remember by the machtois, the fire pans, which Moshe told Aaron to take and put around the Mizbeah? The Pasuk says, Yikach ha-machtois ha-chatoim, not chaitim, machtois ha-chatoim. In other words, the essential, the bad one, the chatoim, the essence which is bad. And you find the same lashon when Shmuel came with a taina against Shaul. Why didn't you kill off Amalek? Yitamu ha-chatoim, not chaitim, chatoim. In essence, they're bad. And that was the reason why Moshe never davened for them. And that was the raging inferno, which they had to keep away from, which was so tragic. What's the meaning of a chayter? I have to share with you, I saw that today is the yahrzeit of one of the greatest mechanchim, I think, in America. He died last year, the David Trenk. I never knew him, but it sounds, I read an article about him, I think they had it in the Mishpacha. He sounded a remarkable mechanch, this man, the David Trenk. It was Nifta last year, and they're writing a book about him. Listen to some of the things which happened with him. He was in Camp Munk. I have to show you, this is Yortzeit, Swussa, Yogen Aleinu, Kov Zion Sivan, he was Nifta. And today's Kov Zion Sivan. He was in Camp Munk, and a little boy of 8 years old accidentally turned the light off on Shabbos. And he was beside himself. He was broken, he was so upset. He felt like he was a terrible, he said terrible thing. And he was crying his eyes out. His parents couldn't calm him down. Turn the light off, little boy of 8. So they decided, let's go to Rav Trenk. So they took him to Rav Trenk. And the parents said, tell the Rebbe what had happened here. So he told the Rebbe what he had done. And he asked the Rebbe, what shall I do? What shall I do? He asked the Rebbe. So Rav Trenk, with his beautiful big smile, looked down and said, Kalman, I'll tell you what you have to do. You have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he made you into a human being. Thank Hashem, he didn't make you into a frog, he didn't make you into a tree, and he didn't make you a cholop sheep. A cholop sheep is cabbage wrapped up with meat and rice. A cholop sheep, he made you a human being. And human beings make mistakes. Such a beautiful line, man. So beautiful. You're a human being, and human being makes mistakes. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you made a mistake. Okay, you made a mistake, that's all. Everybody, people make mistakes. Isn't that, I was thinking, the aside of all chinuch? To accept a person can make mistakes. He's a choyter. He's not a chatoyim, it's a choyter. And that's the lesson, I think, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu never davened for them. He saw that they were chatoyim. If they deny the whole efficacy of Torah Mi-Sinai and Moshe Rabbeinu, then they're right at the corn, right at the source there. And it's not shayach, it's not relevant to do anything with it. It's a raging inferno. I must share with you, I think I shared it once in the Shir, but a Maisa I remember hearing from the Moshe Aaron Stern, the Chassadik Yisroch, the Mashgiach of Kamenitz. He told her this Maisa once in the Shmuz. I heard it from him myself. There was a lady who was Nifta in Yerushalayim, and the Chevra Kedisha were taking out to the Kever, and when they took her out to the Kever, it was a boiling hot day, a Chamsin, and the man on the Chevra Kedisha, one of the Chevra, had to go inside the Kever, to prepare everything there, and it was very hot for him. So he took his jacket off and put it at the side. And they carried on with the Levaya, and they buried the lady. And then afterwards, they all went away, whoever was there. And as they walked away, the person who had gone inside the Kever realized his wallet was missing. His wallet wasn't there. He couldn't find his wallet. So he realized that when he took his jacket off, his wallet must have fallen into the Kever. So he remembered where he put his jacket. So he went back and he didn't dig up the Kever, but he put his hands inside to where the wallet must have been. And he then started screaming. And he screamed out and he said, help me, help me, Hatzilu, Hatzilu, I can't take my hand out. And his hand was in great pain. He couldn't take his hand out. And they came to pull it and eventually they pulled his hand out and they saw that his hand was completely bitten by a snake. And they took him to a hospital and they said it's a serious snake bite and his hand was bitten by there. He managed to get his wallet out, but they went to Rav Eliashiv and they asked Rav Eliashiv, what does this mean? And Rav Eliashiv said, unfortunately, that woman who you buried is probably a Baal Machlokes and a Baal Lashon Hara. because Chazal say as soon as a person dies, snakes come to the guf immediately and wrap around the guf. Imagine such a bal machlekes and a bal loshon hara. Chazal say straight away that snakes come around the guf. Unbelievable mice, and it shakes you up. The person with a bal machlekes. I remember I once told this over to a couple in Los Angeles, close friends. I told them over, and they told me afterwards when I went back another time. They told me, they said, "You should know something, Jonas. Whenever myself or my wife ever gets into trouble, we start saying a machlokes, immediately turn around and say to each other, 'Snakes! Snakes!'" We stop immediately. We don't talk any further. We don't say any more. We just say snakes to each other. That's enough to stop us from saying Lashon Hara. That's what they told me, snakes. But it's that bad. It's machale, the guf, the momoin, and the nefesh. It's the meshaket and the shama completely, what machlokes is. That's the first sad, which I wanted to share with you. The second sad is another look at what it means, shelo l'shem shamayim, is which I saw in the writings of Chaim Kamil. He brings down, if you remember the psukim later on, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he realized there was nothing to do, he couldn't answer them, he then made this ultimatum with them. Vayemer Moshe, bezois teidun, listen, I'll give you a following test. Ki Hashem shelachani, I'll prove that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with me, la'asos es kol ha'maisim o'ele, ki lo minibi. It wasn't my instigation about Aaron as being a Kohen and Yitzhak Safon should become a Nazi. It's not my instigation. And he said as follows, in kemois kol odam yumusim eile, if these people will die like people normally die, no person is sick, lo aleinu, and then lo aleinu, chas Hashem is nifter, or pekudas kol odam yipoked aleim, or they die in the natural way like people come to the end of their life, if they die like this, Baruch Nadosa, lo Hashem shalachani, it's a proof Hashem never sent me, never sent me. Lo Hashem shalachani. In Vriya Yivra HaKadosha, if there's a supernatural event and the earth opened up, then it's a proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me. Now, Rashi and Mefoshim don't bring down, actually, Makor of this. The Gemara in the Goyim, I looked it up, like Lamed Tes on the base, brings down exactly what's behind this point. What's behind the point is that Moshe Rabbeinu said, if these people are sick, and they mavakeh choylin to each other, and there's shalom between them, then already it's a sign it's the Shem Shamayim. If they themselves, and the Gemara says, if they're mavakeh choylin to each other, and they're bakesh shalom at how their friends are doing in the other side of the machlokes, that itself is the symptom that it's the Shem Shamayim, if it's shalom in their machane, in their, where they are. And the Chaim Kamil makes the point, if you look carefully, the Mishnah which we read out said, it doesn't say machlokes koyach in Moshe, it says koyach ve'adoso. Why doesn't it say koyach in Moshe? Koyach ve'adoso means they themselves, when there was no harmony there. There was no peace and tranquility in the machane of Koyach himself. They each had different tainas. Koyach had a taina that he wanted to be the leader himself. Dosan and Aviron had a personal vendetta against Moshe Rabbeinu from years and years ago, and their family. And then the 200 people, 250 people were with them. Chazal said they were all Bechoyrim, who lost their job because of the Levian. Everybody had a different timer, and there wasn't Shalom between them. And therefore, Koyach Vardosa, it was they themselves who were arguing amongst themselves. And once you don't find Shalom between them, then already that's the cause of the Shalom, the Shem Shamayim. Just, I wanted to bring that in as well. The first point is the point of the MS of what they're searching for. We saw since Koyach never answered and Dosan Aviv never answered, that was the cause of it. And they were called Chatoim, not Chaitim. And the second was, is of course, there's no Shalom in their own machane themselves. What I'd like to do now is show you and bring you to the mountain stream to show you something absolutely beautiful, which I think is how we must look and see the great milers when a person is able to move away from the machalikas and avoid it. And that's really what I want to do in this year. The focus to show the inferno, and to show the beautiful stream, what it can be when you have something which is beautiful to machlekes, really change your mind. This Gemara of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is such a beautiful Gemara, Goyen Eivin Daf Yud Gimel. The Gemara brings down that for 3 years, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued amongst each other. For 3 years. The Elu, he said the halacha is like them, and this one said the halacha like them. It was a continual argument. Until eventually, a Baskel came out and said, Eilu ve'eilu dibre elokim chayim. What Beis Shammai says is right, and what Beis Hillel says is right. So what's the halacha? Says the Gemara, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Why? Says the Gemara, because eilu noichim ve'aluvim. Because of the character and the profile of Beis Hillel, they We are mafriya the halacha like them. And not only that, says the Gemara, they also learn first the words of Beis Shammai before they learn their own opinion. Interesting, though, if you know anything about law, law is decided upon points of law. What's the law here? What's the precise, accurate, what's the law here? The law here is maybe like Beis Tehillah Beis Shammai, but we're not passing the law like that. The halacha comes out to be according to the midos and the character of Beis Tehillah. So interesting, though. Because they have such humility and modesty, that's why we pass them like Beis Tehillah. Such a beautiful thing. The machlekes is a machlekes b'shem shamayim, and we say the halachas like Beis Tehillah because of their way. They always were modest and humble, and they lowered their profile. The Gemara then says the lamedcha, such a beautiful point. If a person makes himself very low, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu raises him up. Best example of that maybe is the Rambam. The Rambam lowered his profile on Moed Mavruchim. He never got involved in it, and his profile of it is the Rambam, the great Avim Me'anam Yishoyim, the Rambam. If you raise yourself up into importance, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu shatters you down, brings you down. Amon, Kodach. Interesting. Chazal say that both of them were fabulously wealthy. In the Goyim it was Haman, and in Klal Yisrael it was Korach. Both of them were led astray by their wives. Interesting. Haman was pushed in by Zeresh to go ahead with it, and Korach's wife kept on making scorn against Moshe Rabbeinu with Tchelas, as Chazal say. Both of them were very wealthy, and they both collapsed because of the influence of their wives. The Gemara then carries on, Kana Matzeh Gedula Gedula Borech. If you run after greatness, it runs away from you. If you run away from it, then greatness runs after you. I remember in the Mir Yeshiva, just adding a point, I once turned around and said to Rabbi Saul Glustein, Rabbi Saul Glustein is one of the sons-in-law of the Beinish Winkel, one of the Rosh Yeshivas in the Mir. And I once said to him about his father-in-law, the Beinish, you know, such a modest man, Tzanua. And he was just coming to the base of Medrash when everyone was standing up. He would never seek any covert of his own at all. Tremendously tzanua in his way. So I said to him, this tzanias is the most incredible thing, the lack of covert. So he turned around to me and said, it's not true to say that the Beinish runs away. My father-in-law runs away from covert. He doesn't even goyres the covert. He's not running away from it. He's not running away from it. He doesn't even understand the concept of covert. Nothing to run away from. If you run away from it, that's one thing, but he doesn't even hold by the guilt of covet. It's not even there in his lexicon, in his diction. It's not there by him. It's a beautiful way that Dr. Sonnenwald said about the Danish. But I want to share with you a maisa, which I myself saw, which I think is one of the most beautiful scenes I've ever seen of Machlokes L'Shem Shamayim. I might have mentioned it once in a shir, but it's such a beautiful maisa. When I was learning in Gates of Yeshiva, so one Shabbos, a guest came from Strasbourg, from France. He was, I think, the Rav Apoisek in Strasbourg, tremendous Ham Kocha, Mapoavitz, was a gatesa for Shabbos. And Yeshiva invited him to say a Shir Kloli after Shabbos in the Beis HaMedrash. And the place was full, was packed. And everybody came in to listen to him, this great world. And he was giving his Shir, and I was sitting at the back, with a few people at the back, trying to listen and understand what the Shir was, a very deep Shir in Gemara. And then in the middle, it was clear that Rosh Hashiva, Rav Leib Gurovitz, was uncomfortable. He was twitching in his seat, he was moving, he was twitching. And we could see something was disturbing him. I was standing sitting next to someone called Rav Uren Reich. Rav Uren Reich, Shiyechia, is one of the Rosh Hashivas, I think, in Peekskill in America, and was great Talmud Chacham. He said to us as follows, I know what's disturbing Rav Leib. Rav Leib is upset about something the Rav said, but because of his great derech eretz, he doesn't want to disturb. But I'm going to ask a kasha, and you'll see Rav Leib will take over. Kaha haya. He asked the kasha in the middle, and as soon as he asked the kasha, Rav Leib, just like a volcano, erupted up. And he screamed and shouted at the world in front of him. Once the kasha had been asked, so he argued with him. And then Rav Horowitz shouted back at him. And in front of the whole yeshiva, we saw these two giants, mamash, screaming and shouting at each other. This one, he said, that one. In the middle of all the argument, Rav Horowitz banged on the sender, and he said as follows, Herz Chaim, Rabbi, please understand. This is what he said, I remember. There is no one in Europe like the Rosh Hashiva of Leib Gurovitz. There is an Odom Godol Ma'oid, a Tzadik Yisoydal, and he said all the Shvachim of who the Rosh Hashiva is. No one should please imagine that there's any taina against Rav Leib Gurovitz in Rosh Hashiva. But in this particular point, to which Rav Leib said, no, the Odom Godol here, and he started the Shvachim about it was the most beautiful thing to see. And then he said, who he is, about our Pesach in France. They each show their love, their passion for each other. And then they carried on and screamed at each other, walked out the base of Medrash, arguing with each other. But you saw it, and it was such a beautiful thing to see. The Ahava was there in between them. And that was the point here. What are we learning from this? It's so refreshing. It's a mountain stream if you can really enjoy and see something which is pure and is love, and it's the Shem Shamayim, and so from this Kayim. I would like to add a personal point when it comes to something like a machlokes, especially when it comes to matters of religion. Because I myself, I'm going to mention something that I once did, and to this day I'm upset what happened. I once got involved with a very big argument, machlokes with somebody about inyanim, I think it was the army, yeshiva bach, you know, these usual things with a secular person. And I won the battle, but I lost the war. And I feel bad to this day about it. I won the argument, but I lost the person because I didn't leave the door open to kill. Meaning, it's not enough to win the battle. You must leave the door open in order to allow a person to be makurav to what you're saying. And therefore, I myself learnt that's not the way to argue. You don't, at that Rambam, you don't argue to outwit. You argue to bring the person round. And that's the point which I think one has to know when it comes to discussion, especially on matters of religion. You know who we learn that from? Is the great, great Makariv of all the Rosh Hashiva of Noach Weinberg. There's such beautiful stories which come out about him. I just saw the book recently. Some beautiful stories. A bocher once came into the office of Rav Noach and turned around to him and said to him in a full voice with a full declaration, I want you to know, Rabbi, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. He turned around and said to Rav Noach. To which Rav Noach turned around and said, wow, I've been looking for someone like you for years. Please tell me. It must be that you read up all the books about belief in God and then all the heretical books that there's no belief in God and you came to that conclusion. Please tell me how you made this conclusion. I'd love to hear from you. Share with me how you made this deduction. How did you come to this conclusion after all that you read and researched? To which the man said, well, the student said, I'm really an agnostic. Really an agnostic? Then that means you must have read all the books about belief in God and not belief in God. And you have your doubts. Please tell me. I'd love to hear your doubts, your questions. What are your doubts on all this? Why are you still in doubt? Tell me. So he mumbled and crumbled, but I really don't know too much about it. So oh, wonderful! So let's sit down and learn together. And they sat and learned together, and he stayed in Eish HaTorah, and he became a great Baal Teshuva. What did he do, Rav Noach? He didn't want to prove the efficacy of Torah. That wasn't his aim. His aim was to be Mekarev him, just to show you don't know enough. You think you might know, and to leave the door open. I think that's the most refreshing thing when it comes to a machlokes in the inyanim of religion is that to leave the door open, not like I did, and I to this day I regret it, to warm up to the person, to make them see something. There are beautiful stories about Esther Jungreis. Esther Jungreis was incredible at this. She was able to leave the door open, and she was a tremendous makare. Leaving the door open, not making it into a machlokes like that, leaving it open. There's a story told about the Mashkiach Rav Volber. Rav Volber, say Chazak Livrocha, was once in a debate with Chayalim, with secular soldiers in the army, and one turned around to him with a lot of anger and turned around and says, where does it say in the Torah that you have to cover your head? Who says you have to cover your head? The Mashkiach on the spot turned around and said to him, without a blink of an eye, turned around and said, it's quite easy. When you have food in a pot, if you want it to cook properly, you must cover it. A trash can doesn't need a cover. It's a beautiful point, though. You don't need to cover garbage. But when you have something which you're cooking, you want it to be well cooked, you must cover it. It's a beautiful thing. The warmth, that he explained something. He didn't argue with them. That's not the point. The point isn't the argument. It's the warmth which comes out of it, which I think is so crucial here. On that basis, it's a mountain stream. If it's not a machlokes, you can warm up with the person and do it another way. I would think, Lanier's deity, from what I've seen, one of the most beautiful gifts that you can ever have in Hashkocha Pratis, in Ruchnis, is to see this in evidence. When you actually watch it and see that the machlokes is squashed and instead there's warmth. I mean, I saw it myself as a boy, as a teenager. This is what I saw. It's the most beautiful thing to see. to see the way someone avoids the machlokes and brings someone in a beautiful way. When I was growing up in Birmingham in England, so the great Rosh Hashiva from Sunderland, of Chaim Shmuel Lapien, the Chassad Yikoch, used to come around, and I had the privilege of driving. I drove him around different places, collected money from different places, and he was extremely beloved. People really loved him very much. He had a great name, very affectionate, warm. And when he used to go to people, he used to ask them, how are you doing? How's your daughter doing? Do you find a shidduch? And all these things. He was like a father figure whenever he came. And I was always accompanying him. I watched it. I saw that. One day we turned up at a house, and I was standing next to him, and we rang the doorbell, and the lady of the house opened the door, and she saw Rabbi Lapien there. She said, oh, Rabbi Lapien. She opened her arms and came forward to give him a tremendous hug and a kiss. Literally, she was about to hug and kiss him. I looked at him and thought, oh, what's he going to do now? I wanted to see, how's the reaction? I promise you, I watched him. This is what he did. He instantly lifted his hands up higher than hers, so they were right up high, and she couldn't possibly hold him because his hands were so high. He overcame her emotional warmth, and he went over the top. And no one touched. No embarrassment. He couldn't have explained to her. He's not the woman to explain it. I could see she wasn't the type to be explained. But he met her warmth. But there was no embarrassment. And there was no machlekes. There was no harm behind it. He was ready in his mind for such an eventuality. An incredible sensitivity. Incredible alertness to be able to show the warmth when there's potentially a machlekes there. I saw it myself in front of the way he behaved. I must add to you, just last week, the father of my mechutin, Rabbi Yonas and Shapira, was nifta. My mechutin was nifta last year, the Eliezer Shapira from Neve Shapira. Father and son were like two peas in a pod. Meeting them was literally like a mountain stream. They had tremendous warmth, the two of them together, the father and the son. The father was the Manal in Torah Das in America. Rav Lezer worked all the time with Oz Sameach. They were great people. I wanted to show you how beautiful it was in their reaction to them, how they reacted to people. And if there was a potential, I know from other people, the potential machlokes, they always managed to squash it. And it was something like this, I think. You know, the Gemara brings down that, Oirach Tov Mahu Aimer, a good guest, what does he say? Someone who comes to your table. Kama bosa hevilafanai, kama yayin hevilafanai, kama gluskos hevilafanai. Gluska means a delicacy at the end of the meal. Something really delicious. Strudel or mousse. Something very special as a dessert which the hostess has made. So you say it. Such beautiful things. And all that the balabos has done is all for me. The Gemara learns out on that. Who is the host? The host is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is the guest? We are guests in Olam Hazer. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us bosa and yayin. And he often shows us a gluska, a glusia yota, a delight, a dessert. Meeting someone who's able to squash a machlokes is like a gluska yota. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's a delight to see it. I saw it on the father and son of these Shapira. They were able to do that. I saw situations, the way they greeted people. There was never any a shadow of a machlokes. That's, I think, the two sides which I wanted to bring you. The first is the raging inferno, like the Rambam brought down, which is really chaotic. It's a catastrophe, and it burns up everything. The Rambam said, I never got involved in that. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu lifted him up, and this Magbiya, who was mashed himself, not to be near loving, but in my moivin, show me mcher postun, but in my meshivin, smechin be soon, aleim akosta boima, could taste Hashemish be gruosa. They're very great people, these people who are able not to get involved in the machlokes. And the delight is, if they're able to do that, and the Shem Shamayim and the active Emes or the Sholem in the Rafaneh, the result is a most beautiful mountain stream. It's delightful if you're able to do it. And avoid the confrontation. We're not out to outwit anybody. I'd like to suggest, from my own mistake, the door must be open always for cure of the warmth, like Rav Noach did. Noach Weinberg did that. He was a master of cure. He didn't outprove, he didn't come to outwit, he just wanted to show them, maybe you don't know so much, you don't understand so much. Just another story I remember reading, that someone came to Noah and he said to him, tell me, what do you want to do in life? Do you want to be good or do you want to be a bafustik? So he said to him, I don't know what a bafustik is. So he said, well, what would you prefer, kedusha or to be a bafustik? So the student and I said, I don't know what a bafustik is. What do you mean by a bafustik? Do you know what kedusha is? Do you know what to be good is? Leave it alone. It's like a prop he had. You don't know that, but you know what Kedusha is. And he pulled them in. This clever line. A prop. And that's what I think Rav Lapian had. He had it in his mind to avoid confrontation and bring the warmth out. And if you can do that, then it really is the end of the pandemic. Who knows? Maybe even the end of the corona. And we will see Yom Tovim Am Yisrael. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Have
a good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, everybody. Good Shabbos.